I'm about to summon the old ones and destroy the world. If you have the Necronomicon, then get the fuck out of my house, child.
Yeah, but it would have to be the Necronomicon from Evil Dead.
Evil Dead, is that a particularly lit Necronomicon?
Well, Jessica and Zach, from the day they were born, they started watching comedy because it was on. She was a golden girl, he had Seinfeld on the brain. They said a 9-year-old Frasier fan might just be insane. Harry and the Hendersons, Mindy and Mork. Now Jessica and Zach get together and talk. They'll never say the sitcom's glory days are gone. They'll still watch it because it was on. Because it was on.
Because it was on.
Because it was on.
Because it was on.
Is it too early to set up a Patreon? And I'll call it because it was on. Because it was on.
Because it was on.
Because it was on.
Because it was on.
Hello and welcome to Because It Was On. We're like that fancy film podcast, but for people who like to talk about that episode of Frasier, where Frasier forgets his wallet at the station on Christmas, and he must suffer the greatest humiliation of all, pity from poor people. We talk about the social politics and history of your favorite sitcoms with varying degrees of seriousness. My name is Jessica, and I started dating a musician, and I'm pretty sure he ripped off the tune of the silly song I made up for my cat. And now that that song has blown up, I am taking him on my favorite daytime talk show to confront him. You got this. Go, go, go.
Okay. And I'm Zach, and my boss has locked the doors and says no one can leave the office until we get to the bottom of who took Brenda's Lunchable and LaCroix from the break room.
I don't think you overshot Eddie Moon, and I do think that we need to figure out who took her Lunchable.
Definitely a bottle episode.
Definitely a bottle episode. This is all taking place in the break room. This week is a very special episode.
Absolutely. There were a lot of lessons learned this week. A lot of soul searching, a lot of learning about the cost of joining a group and maintaining your individuality.
Absolutely.
Nancy Reagan popped up for a little bit.
Nancy Reagan, and if you didn't know this,
she told
Hunt.
Her corn pop story.
Let me tell you a true story about a boy we'll call Charlie. He was only 14, and he was burned out on marijuana. He was in a stupor of permanent days. And one day, when his little sister wouldn't steal some money for him to go and buy some more drugs, he brutally beat her. The real truth is, there's no such thing as soft drugs or hard drugs. All drugs are dumb.
Nancy, you tell them, babies. Just say no.
Just say no. For those of you, we're referencing one of my favorites, like the shows that we watched about Just Say No. Nancy Reagan popped up in Different Strokes one time and just was like, hey, we're doing like an advertisement for Just Say No. And someone says, but pot's okay, right? Nancy Reagan was like, the fuck, it's all right. Let me tell you about my friend Dave. He had his life ruined
by marijuana. And then Nancy Reagan says, you know what? I think I would like to join you for your school's journalism meeting.
Just one at a time.
one by one. That's the real way to clean up this country.
I like Nancy Reagan's approach, like her very intellectual approach of, I don't have time to go to every middle school class, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to infiltrate the media of this middle school by going to their newspaper. And once I have the newspapers, I have the entire middle school where they will carry it.
You know, she's just she's doing it, like, it's just a reboot of 21 Jump Street, but it's just Nancy Reagan.
Just winning our hearts and minds.
And she's just like that Simpsons meme where it's like the old man. He's like, what's up, my cool cats? But it's Nancy Reagan. And that's what the Different Strokes episode was like. But before we get too deep into that, let us give you, the audience, some grounding for what we're talking about. So it is only March 30th right now for Zachary and I. But as you're listening to this in your sweet little ears, it should be somewhere in the vicinity of 420 for you. And so you know what that means. It's time for our 420 spectacular.
Yes.
I don't know if everyone here listening to us joined us for our last 420 episode, but it's because it was on tradition around here to delve into one of the sweetest, little juiciest niblets of all sitcom special episodes, which is the marijuana episode. And last season, we talked about, or last 420, we talked about people who were caught in the act of smoking pot. Generally speaking, adults who have been caught in the act of smoking pot at some point or another. Such a fun episode. It is what gave birth to the Time Frasier.
The Time Frasier. Listen, I have no memory of what actually happened during that time that we were recording. But the only fact that I know is Time Frasier.
Time Frasier.
Those words, I am told those words hold meaning.
They're meaningful to me, and I can't even tell you why. It just tickles something in my spirit.
It's our rosebud.
The Time Frasier. So the fun little hook of our 420 episode is that prior to the episode, Zach and I partake in a little bit of the devil's lettuce ourselves, so that we can give you a real, like, insider's perspective on the mind of a marijuana user.
We are going to be assessing these through the high gaze. Like, we're tired of the sober gaze.
Not enough academia centered around the study of the high gaze.
Trying to get, like, a whole academic discipline going.
Where you just, the whole discipline is you're just stone and make observations.
You're just seeing me through the high gaze. I'm not a real person either.
Before talking to you today, Zach and I, we did partake a little bit.
I confess.
It's completely legal where I'm sitting right now. In fact, it's encouraged. They encourage every citizen to support their local economy and run to the dispensary.
Yeah, I was crouched in, like, a dark corner of my house. I could hear the helicopters going in the sky. They were looking for me. The dogs were out sniffing for my scent. And I just, in the cover of darkness, had to take a little puff. Because it's not legal where I am.
Yeah, Zach still lives in one of those states that is actually just, like, perpetually living in a 90s sitcom.
I got my own personally assigned Detective Javert that's out there right now looking for me. Because I did a little bit of pot.
Zach, earlier when you said we learned a lot of lessons this week, I thought you were going to refer to we learned a lot of lessons last time we did the 420 episode in terms of how to handle ourselves. But it seems like we didn't.
This was so much worse.
Because last time you definitely took a much higher dosage of edibles than you had anticipated. I don't recall if you remember this.
I wasn't able to access gummies because fucking, like, Michael Bolton's out there. Sorry.
Yeah,
he's asking the who, the what, the why, and the where. The man still answered to Javert, and so I can't get gummies. So I had to smoke a weed, like an actual weed from the earth.
Sucks to suck. I love a gummy. I hate flour.
So I have no way of calculating it. I don't. It's been because it's so scientific with gummies.
And
it's
I feel like I need
1.5 worm.
Yeah, when's the last time that you smoked flower? Because if I recall, because that your personal Detective Javert tends to get in the way. This is not something you do all that often.
It's not. I think probably the last time I smoked, like, an herb, it was in Washington, D.C.
Oh, God, Zach. Oh, no.
Because Crystal and I decided to get a joint. This was, like, pre-COVID.
But, like, 2 weeks pre-COVID. This was in March of 2020.
So it's been a while. I had this bit that was going to be my bit about this process was that I like to listen to, like, show tunes as I'm getting high as, like, a barometer of when I'm quite high. When, like, it's really hitting. like, I'm just, like, really invested in, like, Alexander Hamilton. That's when, like, I'm high and it's time to stop.
Are you asking me to sing you some show tunes?
No. As I'm smoking, I know when to stop, like, when it starts to, like, really hit.
Okay. What were you listening to
I've
just now?
I've done this before. Imelda Staunton's I'm losing My Mind.
Follies?
But yeah, but the problem is that one's really fucking good, and I was just, like, tearing up. She really does it good. Dolores Umbridge from Harry Potter.
Yeah, I love Imelda Staunton. A plus. You said you loved
me, or were you just being kind?
Beautiful. And then it went to Encanto, the one with the stressed out sister, and it was really hitting. But by that point, I had way overshot the moon.
You know, here's the thing, Zach. If you only had the correct tools, you would have known that all you have to do is just say no.
Oh, fuck. Man, we're 14 minutes in. Yes. So we watched a number of episodes.
Yes, we watched some episodes that are heavily related to the just say no era of anti-drug messaging and promotion. So we watched a few episodes. For those not in the know, Just Say No, as we were somewhat referring to, was basically like the American government's branding was at the time, related to teaching the youths how to avoid getting trapped in a life of using, boozing, and losing, and of say no to drugs.
Little kids doing drugs, it turns my stomach. That stuff hurts. It stops you from living up to your potential. It holds you back. It hurts the user. It hurts his family. And it hurts his friends. I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and thinking about using. So remember, don't.
So this was heavily popular in the 80s, which, again, it was something championed by Nancy Reagan, like we mentioned at the top of the episode. But throughout the 80s and 90s, the messaging to kids on how to avoid getting sucked into a life of drugs, sex, and rock and roll was to simply say no. If you had any DARE education, this is pretty much the crux of it. And we are going to talk about some sitcom episodes situated right in there. And then just like a couple of other random ones that aren't really about Just Say No, but had we yeah, that's the Just Say No moment. Zach, did you ever have DARE education?
I may or may not have signed that contract that said I will narc on all of my classmates. Did you have to do that at that big red wall and then you got to sign the contract, the drug-free contract?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a contract that I love me and I'll be drug-free.
Did you sign the devil's book? Are you marked in the
yes, dark book? I signed Buzzkill the Drug Dog's book. I signed his book. Yes, I definitely, and I'm hoping that I don't want you to be an oath breaker, a contract destroyer, and break your contract with Buzzkill the Drug Dog. But I also don't want you to narc on me right now.
The cops are on their way.
Oh my God, are you going to tell my dad?
Did you hear that, Jessica? Did you hear that?
Tell me, what's the story? Who's and why and where?
He's coming, Jessica. He's coming.
Let them answer to Javert. Oh no, there's gonna be a lot of Javert references tonight. Woo!
Who would have known?
Who could have ever guessed? That's the mood we'd be in. And it's not... Well, hold on, though. Do you like the marshmallow mouth Russell Crowe Javert from the movie? Where it sounds like he's saying the thing with, like, literally a cheeks full of marshmallows.
Chubby bunny! Chubby bunny!
Yeah, no.
The darkness.
10th anniversary. It's the only one I know.
Yeah.
That guy, like, sideburns, like, almost kissing on the chin.
I like that it's either the 20th or the 25th anniversary that I like. Yeah, that's the one I like. But they're all good. I love Les Miserables. I'll listen to Russell Crowe's Mush Mouth. Sure, baby. You fight your way through.
Yeah, I'll just imagine. It's because I know it well enough that I can just imagine him singing well.
The way that Russell Crowe, like, moves his mouth in that movie reminds me of, like, I had a friend who got their wisdom teeth out in high school and, like, had a difficult time with recovery. And so they could only open their mouth, like, a quarter of the way that it normally would open. And they couldn't close it all the way either. And that's what Russell Crowe's mouth does that whole movie.
I was going to say, do you think that he had, I don't know, maybe he was doing, like, a real character dive and, like, he had lockjaw. From scurvy. Scurvy lockjaw. Sounds like a Charles Dickens character.
Scurvy lockjaw. He shines shoes.
Oh no. Scurvy lockjaw.
Alright. Let's introduce these mother tucking episodes.
23 minutes in, yes.
Let's get these episodes out to life. So, starting off in 1980, we're going to take the good, we're going to take the bad, take them both, and there we have The Facts of Life. This is a season one episode, so this is, I know Zach loves, because this is still when Mrs. Garrett sang the theme song.
When your books are what you're there about, but looks are what you care about, the time is right.
Season 1, episode 13, Dope, that aired in June of 1980. And the plot is wild for a couple of instances that I want to get into, because we are going to revisit the sociopath Blair Warner in this episode.
To the point, Blair was such an evil character that one of the characters, like, smokes pot and the audience cheered because fuck Blair. We know that this is, like, an anti-drug
but we're anti-Blair.
We hate Blair. We hate Blair so much that we cheered for a child smoking pot.
Yes, let's go, girl. And so in this episode, they kept it in. They absolutely did. In this episode, Blair gets Nancy. Is it Nancy? Something like that. I linked to all of the IMDb's in the sheet. And I still got her name wrong. Sue Ann. It's Sue Ann. So Blair gets Sue Ann into a club. Just a clique of girls at the school known as the Society. And lo and behold, at the first Society meeting, they're going to be offered drugs. And they act like this is some wild thing they didn't know about, even though the entire setup in the first act is Blair showing Nancy where she keeps her weed and clearly outlining that tonight we're going to smoke weed.
It's so fucked up for this.
This is okay. We're going to get into it now. Blair is so fucked up for this. Blair, so this, go. Light her up. You go.
Okay.
Get her.
Blair talks this girl, really sets her up and says, hey, you're going to go to this club. You're excited, right? I did a lot of favors to, like, get you into this club. Congratulations, you're in the motherfucking club.
Let's go.
I got you into the group with me. Oh, fantastic. I was hoping that's what it was. But but Tumpy's coming over to tell you herself, so you gotta act surprised. Oh, I don't have to act. I am. Was it hard to get me in? Not after I paid them $5,000.
And then she's, hey, you know what we do with this club? This awesome club? Here. We smoke pot. And she pops out her lipstick and is like, gonna
here's
blaze
my joint.
We're gonna blaze it.
What did you mean before when you told me not to be shocked about the group? This should give you a hint. A Blair, lipstick doesn't shock me. To an outsider, it's lipstick. To a member of the group, Meryl!
Shh!
Juana? Do you smoke pot? No! But everyone in the group does. And tonight, we are part of the group.
Gets this girl so pumped, so excited. Yes, yes, pot. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We about to smoke.
And then she shows up. The two of them, they show up to the club. They swear her in. She's part of the club. Okay, let's pot.
Let's go.
Pot. And then Blair.
And then Blair, fucking narc-ass, turncoat-ass bitch. She flips she, that like, switch.
Slaps it out of her hand. She's just like, you're giving. What the fuck do you think you're doing? You're trying to ruin your life.
How dare you? I don't want to be like one of those zombies in the corner. I don't like the way being high makes me feel.
She's knocking over lamps. What the fuck? And then this girl's just completely baffled. And is holding the joint that Blair gave her.
Listen, I don't know if I want to smoke Tumpy. She's a little scared. Here. I think I'll wait till you get some of that good Hawaiian stuff. You know me, I never go second class. You know what I think? I think you're chicken. I'm not chicken. I just don't feel like getting spaced out and giggling at stupid jokes and not being able to finish a thought. I'm gonna pass. Let's go, Sue-Ann.
Sue-Ann, you don't have to go anywhere. You're not Blair's little puppet.
Yeah, we invited you to be one of us because of you, not because you're Blair's friend. Thanks. You sneak, Tumpy. Flattering Sue-Ann just so she'll smoke with you. What do you mean, flattering me? You think I'm your puppet? I didn't mean that.
Yes, she did. You've got a mind of your own, you know.
I sure do.
You're not chicken like Blair. Blair, you'll never know what you've been missing. Here. Come on, it's no big deal.
You're right. One time isn't gonna kill me.
It's just magic. All right. Imagine your friend is, we're joining this club. And what you do at this club is you eat chocolate cake. Here's the piece of chocolate cake we're gonna eat tonight. Fuck yeah. Then you get to the club and they're like, welcome to the chocolate cake club. Swear in. Amazing. I'm sworn in. Here's your piece of chocolate cake. And then the person who gave
slap
you the chocolate cake just fucking smush it into your face, fucking stab you through the hand with the fork, and then look you in the eye like, how dare you even consider eating this chocolate cake? Who the fuck do you think you are? That is exactly what Blair does. And then imagine her doing that and then acting the fucking victim about it.
She got, so at this twist where the first 5 minutes, it was like, fuck yes, we're smoking, we're having a great time.
Yeah, I was literally like, we don't get fucked up tonight.
At that point, the audience was so confused that the girl started smoking pot and everyone was cheering. Yes. You were obviously betrayed by Blair. Smoke your pot, girl.
Yeah, it is the wildest up and down move Blair could have ever pulled. And that is some absolute bullshit.
And you know why? You know why she did it? She didn't want... She was making, like, a play from the very beginning to just destroy the group. Like, you can't... The Absolutely. Club. You can't be... So she got... She infiltrated it. She made sure that the cops found the club. And then she, like, bowed out.
Absolutely. No there will press. Be no one above Blair. And you know what? Those girls seemed richer, smarter, and cooler than Blair. And there cannot be that like, at Easton.
Three of the most popular girls just got expelled.
Yep. Competition just got thinner. And guess who's gone next season? Sue Ann. Cut C's out of there. Serial murdered.
Shoved off the mountain at the ski chalet trip.
So that's the facts of life. Whole other B plot where Natalie and Tootie buy Mrs. Garrett a bong.
Keep jelly beans in. One of my favorite amazing Mrs. Garrett quotes. Where Mrs. Garrett, Tootie, or one of the girls comes in and is, I'm doing a report on Moby Dick. You know anything about Moby Dick, Mrs.
Oh,
Garrett?
Oh, yes, hell yeah. This she... messy bitch. This messy slut. Yes. Okay, go.
This messy bitch then just goes to a child.
Mrs. Garrett, you know Moby Dick?
Intimately. A whale of a fella.
What the fuck are you doing at this school?
Just, like, raising those eyebrows. Man, this is a 14-year-old.
She's, like, doing the scene from When Harry Met Sally with this Moby Dick bit. That's how much she's milking it.
Absolutely. I'll have what she's having.
Yeah, and so that, and then, and I just really appreciated this. I appreciated Carolyn Ray's delivery, and it was... When it comes to hi-fi, I'm rather lo-fi. And I just really liked it.
Oh, girls.
When it comes to hi-fi, I'm rather lo-fi.
Lo-fi. Yeah, I was just letting Facts of Life play after I finished that episode because I was just, like, in the kitchen doing stuff. My hands were dirty. Couldn't change it. So I'm just, like, letting it play. And not, like, a couple episodes later, Miss Garrett fully just, like... does that bullshit where she's, I won't call the cops, but y'all gotta work for me for free and live in my house and be my best friends. She does that shit like two episodes later. And I'm like, you know what? Blair and this messy bitch deserve each other. Like, they are the same fucking side of the coin.
I wanted it to end with some kind of death becomes her scenario where they're like
Blair
stuck
and
with
Mrs.
each other.
Garrett stuck together forever. Y'all, if you haven't listened to it, we do have an entire episode devoted to the facts of life. It's not this one, even though we've talked about this for 10 minutes. Let's move on to the next episode.
Okay,
Archie
next
Bunker's
episode.
Place.
Yes. Yep, loved this one. Yeah, it's a spinoff of All in the Family when Edith died. And he lives with some younger girls that are under his care. He finds in this episode, which is season 4, episode 21, Bunker's Madness. And Archie finds some pot in the pants of the older sister. And chaos ensues. Because Archie...
I don't think it was in the pants of the older sister. He found it by the washing machine while they were doing laundry.
It was the strongest reaction by far. From any of the characters in these episodes. Because Archie Bunker's, you're fucking dead to me.
Literally, he acted like this was not just like a Schedule 1 narcotic, but that he found out that while you did a Schedule 1 narcotic, you like killed a puppy. That is how Archie Bunker reacted to finding the smallest little scoopering of weed.
I was trying to think of what physical object could a child bring into my home. That would make me immediately be like, get the fuck out of my house. You're dead to me. She's like an older teenager. And all I could come up with was like the fucking Necronomicon. I'm about to summon the old ones and destroy the world. If you have the Necronomicon, then get the fuck out of my house, child.
Yeah, but it would have to be the Necronomicon from Evil Dead.
Evil Dead, is that a particularly lit Necronomicon?
Yeah. You don't know it. The Deadites? Like, the Necronomicon in Evil Dead, it summons the Deadites, and they get ya.
Is this a movie or video game?
Evil Dead is a, it's a movie. Do you know Sam Raimi? The director Sam Raimi?
Maybe. Does that ring a bell? I mean, it just sounds like Left 4 Dead.
It's an incredibly famous film. Incredibly famous film franchise. It's considered one of the best horror movies of all time.
Red Dead and Redemption?
Nope. Evil Dead. It exists, and it has a really bad Necronomicon in it.
All right.
Kind of the worst one in movie history. But yeah, this is how Archie reacts. He is over the top about it. But man, those kids in that show, I think this is like our first example of just inexplicably accessible drugs in an episode, because those kids were handing out expensive drugs like it was Chiclets.
Oh, absolutely. And if we're going to be talking about the Punky Brewster the Punky Brewster episode, I think we have to do something first, Jessica. Can you raise your hand?
Hold on. We're not there yet. I just said Chiclets because they're on my mind. Don't go to the Punky Brewster episode yet. But I will swear okay, that I hope that Michael J. Fox doesn't get taller.
He's 5'4". Those girls fuck him over.
we'll get to it. Let's not go there, because okay, that's most of what I want to talk about for the whole episode.
Yeah. Okay.
That's most of it. But yeah, they're just giving away drugs in Archie Bunker's place. They're going to do that in the other episodes, too.
Yeah.
Let's fucking get there. We got one in between, which is Different Strokes, Season 5, Episode 22, The Reporter. And this is our appearance of Nancy Reagan.
Oh, absolutely. Nancy Reagan just shows up to this newspaper club and is, don't do drugs. Snitches. Snitches are the real bitches. Like, she's really getting on their level and recruiting them to the drug war.
Absolutely. Yeah, she said snitches get bitches. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I was reaching for.
I know. I fixed it for you. She said snitches get bitches.
Snitches win riches.
Hey, yes. She recruits Arnold into her snitch-ass army. And he's so inspired by our first lady that he's just like, I'm going to go undercover and I'm going to catch this 8-year-old drug dealer and I'm going to fuck up his life.
Sorry.
Zach almost died on that one.
It was a good episode. Good episode.
Absolutely. It is. It's really what, this is the type of shit Different Strokes does well. Of just like, the Drummonds, no Nancy Reagan.
Yeah.
They do this shit so well. Just like the sincere, over the top dramaticness of the episode, just played so sincerely. Nobody does it like Different Strokes. And so, yeah, Arnold sets a trap for the grade school pusher and ensnares it. And I can only assume they threw the book at this 12-year-old and charge them as an adult.
Yeah. Yep, he is like, you know what he's doing. He's serving time, much like Jean Valjean.
Yeah, honestly, if anybody is a fucking marijuana Javert, it is Arnold.
Yep. And that kid that he is going, 24601, is going down into the pit.
Yeah. Yeah. Arnold says, there out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from God. And that is, yeah. And then Nancy Reagan comes back at the end to just be like, I'm going to get in this. I'm here with you, Arnold. You did the right thing. Snitches get bitches. Snitches get riches. Let's go, honey. I'm going to show back up at your journalism class and tell them, just say no. And A+ of an episode. And now we move on to my favorite of the whole bunch. We're saying hello again to Miss Punky Brewster. We love her. And she had the quintessential Don't Say No episode. It's literally, sorry, Just Say No. It's season 2, episode 8. It aired in October of 1985, and it is literally called Just Say No.
Yeah, I mean, it, somehow, it just like really, it's the most concentrated resin of this type
wonderful
of
metaphor.
As everything.
It's yeah. Everything. It even at the end, like, shows live footage of, like, Just Say No rallies that Punky Brewster, like, the actress led in real life. And just, this just parade of squares agreeing to never do drugs.
That They're is in just... an organization of fucking losers.
Fucking losers. And that's how they end the Punky Brewster episode. Join the Just Say No Club.
I love this so much.
This is such a good episode. Let's hit him from the top with what's going on in this episode. Go ahead. I feel like your recaps have been cooking lately. Let's go.
Punky and Cherry, they are hanging out in their backyard, and then...
Yes, the goddesses.
And then just like the goddesses, just the most ethereal cool girls from middle school come out.
Fucking love these girls.
I'm a fan.
The costume department. Okay? I'm a fan. They popped off. Okay, Heathers could never. Heathers could never. Because these
how
four
would you describe?
Girls, how would I describe it? It's like if Cyndi Lauper designed clothes for the Disney Channel.
Yes, I was gonna go with Nickelodeon. It was giving me like early 2000s Nickelodeon. If it like had started to grow, it, like those AI generated like tumors of just like bows, because they just had, it was always yes and with accessories.
Yes and so this was maximalist fashion. Okay. And they come up and they are surveying maximum charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Okay. These girls are at an 11 and they say, hi, we're the Chiclets. And they got that totally 80s accent going on, turned up to about 400 degrees. Because that 80s Valley Girl accent on these girls was cooking. Okay. This was absolute fire. Okay. And so
they just like stroll in like they own this man's backyard and are just like,
and then proceed to be like, we do own this backyard and we're about to bless you, Punky. We are about to bless you with our presence. Okay.
They stroll in with all of the like confidence of going into an apartment. I mean, it's going into the house that you're thinking about buying. It's just look in at all the things that you might have a problem with. That's the confidence. And they spot Punky and Cherry. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing here? It's their backyard. And are then like, okay, we like you. Actually, because I believe in honesty above all things, we want your treehouse. But we are willing to invite you to this club. But it's because of the treehouse.
We know what you have. We know what we bring to the table, and we think this is a fair trade.
We are the Chiclets.
Congratulations. We are the Chiclets.
You are now a Chiclet. We do not ask. We inform.
You're about to be a Chiclet, girly. And we're sixth graders. We're cooler than you. If you don't have a club by sixth grade, kill yourself. And we're the Chiclets. And baby, they were the Chiclets. So they said, meet us back here tomorrow at our treehouse. And we'll see how you are. We'll see how you're doing. And if you can be a Chiclet for real, like, we want to see if you can ride. And so Punky and Cherry, after a lot of negotiation with their parents, who know nothing about these group of girls, but are like weirdly anti them having any other friends.
So Punky and Cherry, they are like, we're going to adopt this fashion sense. And so they just put on every accessory they own, and they're working. They're working with what they have.
And let me tell you,
they did an excellent job.
These girls went into that bedroom and came out of that bedroom more covered up. Like, this is a conservative look these girlies are sporting. Because normally what happens when you see the sitcom trope is that the girls get introduced. Like, think Vanessa when she was doing the Locomotion music video, right? Like, it's, they normally get influenced to be like a little more sexy or like dressing inappropriately for their age. And then the mom sees them and goes, oh, not in my house. And that was my Reba.
I was taking just the worst Mrs. Garrett I've ever heard.
Mrs. Garrett, not in my house, girls. What are you wearing, Blair? And that just went a little into Christopher Walken. That's Mrs. Garrett, if she married Christopher Walken. That's my impression. Thank you all and good night. And yeah, these girls, that's usually the reaction is like, how dare you? You're moving too fast. These girls come out way more covered up, and their parents react as though these girls have, they're out there in like the Madonna cone bra.
Yeah.
They're like, how dare you?
And so they have like 20 barrettes in their hair and like just coquettish fascinators and shit, just all over their head, like 5 scarves. And they're acting, it's like they wanted, it makes no sense. It makes no sense why they're upset. It makes
no sense. No sense at all. But they are, they're very upset. I think they're trying to set the stage for a lesson in peer pressure. Like, they're upset.
Yeah.
They're upset because you're changing who you are. You're not being true to yourselves by wearing all these extra bows.
I'm sorry. They're just, like, following sound leadership. Like, that's what all these, like, peer pressure groups are. They're always forgetting. Like, the peer pressure, like, PSAs you got in school. Part of the human desire to just follow sound leadership. And
yeah, you need what you to find. Do. You need to find the queen bee. You need to get her into project management. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's where she needs to be. She is a project manager. Okay? She's going to get the shit done. People are going to do what she says. That is solid leadership. And Punky's mother and Cherie's grandmother, not into this. Absolutely not into this decision. And they say,
wipe that shit face.
You whore. So they agree to let them explore being chicklets if they go back to dressing normal. And so the girls agree. And the next day we have chicklets hazing to see if they can make it. And they start off with just making them drink a gross mixture. It's just something that they do. And then they make them take an oath. And the oath is so on point.
Mm.
And Jessica, it really does.
Can you raise your hand? Okay, repeat after me.
I state your name here. That's the bit they do.
Promise, my precious promise, to maintain my cool at all times.
Promise, my precious promise, to maintain my cool at all times.
To pray every night that Michael J. Fox doesn't get taller.
To pray every night that Michael J. Fox doesn't get taller.
And to hang with the chicklets through good times and bad.
And to hang with the chicklets through good times and bad.
Okay.
We're chicklets now!
We're chicklets now, yes. The sacred oath.
Look, nothing I've ever heard so validates the people involved in the Salem witch trials. Because you are right to be scared of the power of little girls. Because those little girls prayed every night for Michael J. Fox to stay short, and that man is a short king to this day. Okay.
5'4".
You are right. You are right to be scared of little girls. They're powerful.
They will wish you into the cornfield if they so desire.
I would not cross the chicklets, okay? Those girls are going to get what they want, and if that means Michael J. Fox is going to stay short... Them chicklet girlies are about to have it, okay?
This is really like just like the prequel to that 1990s movie, The Coven. This is where it first started.
This is where it started. It was the chicklets first, okay? Oh, there's just so much to love about it, because don't ever tell me women only go for tall guys, okay? We are over here using our precious magical resources to keep Michael J. Fox under 5'5".
In order to be in the chicklets, you have to be cool, you have to have a sense of fashion, and you have to love short kings.
You only date short kings. We are short king exclusive in the chicklets, okay? If you cross 6 foot, you are not coming to a chicklet party. Absolutely not. I want you to have to get on your tippy toes to get a little kiss from me, baby. That's the chicklet in me.
That's what they all bonded over.
I love them. And after the induction, this is where our heroine, Miss Punky Brewster, gets offered so many free drugs. I have never been offered that many free drugs. Every type of drug possible. This little girl just pulls out her purse, okay? She said, I got some grass, some uppers, some downers, and a little bit of cocaine.
Black ones.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of black ones. Got some cocaine. What do you want? You want Molly? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Do you want to be in space? Or do you want to be in your body? You tell me.
She said, I got a full pharmacy free of charge, Miss Brewster. You're a chiclet now. Let's celebrate. You get first pick, Mama. And the most drugs I have ever seen offered for free to anyone in my life. Like, punky Absolutely. Girl, you are so lucky.
Drugs work basically with the same economics as getting a Christmas ham. You have to a lot of times order ahead, and it's like an ordeal, and you have to go in with other people to get it. There's a lot of organization. You don't just get offered a big briefcase. Candy meal. You tell me where you want to be, and I'll get you there. That kind of relationship with the drugs.
From a 12-year-old, nonetheless.
Yeah.
Girl, like, there's no girl way I could have like even figured out my way to that until I was, like, 19. Like,
you know that, like, girl is just, like, is a millionaire right now in, like, Los Angeles, just doing some, like, celebrity catering shit? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she has made it work for her. She's got a chiclet empire. It's just a
Where's Punky was last time you heard about Punky?
So Miss Punky, she says, I'm not doing drugs, Miss Chiclets. Sorry, let me think about it. And then she goes and she, in case you guys didn't know this, if you're ever feeling threatened or pressured to do something that's not you, you should always confide in a trusted adult, like a parent, teacher, or police officer. And you better believe that Miss Punky goes and she says, forgive me, professor, I have sinned, and I think I'm going to do drugs. I need you to help me. I might do drugs. And he says, don't do that, Punky. And she said, damn, you know what? You're right. And then it's a whole thing about peer pressure. And you got to be yourself. You can't be pressured to be a chiclet when you really should form your own cult, Punky. You have the makings to be your own cult leader. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Make your own cult. And she said, you know what? You're right, mister. You are so right. She tells those chiclets, no, I don't do drugs. I'm part of the Just Say No Club. Cut to footage of Soleil Moon Frye, the actress who plays Punky Brewster, leading a revolution in the streets of a bunch of narc-ass square bitches who all just say no.
Absolutely. It turns into a montage at the end of just the way that it just turns directly into a propaganda film. And then you can just fucking hear the soundtrack should have been like, the sun no momento is summerly warm. It's just some tomorrow belongs to me bullshit as the narcs of the future are born.
So every pussy bitch in LA showed up to Punky Brewster's rally and said, I won't do drugs either, Punky. And that's the Punky Brewster episode. Man, top 10, here for the chiclets.
Here for the chiclets. Love the chiclets.
Pro chiclet. Very pro. We are now, what are 4 episodes in? And in at least 2 of them, I would for sure rather be doing drugs with the cool kids than hang out with the protagonists.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the cool kids suck, and I wouldn't want to hang out with them. These were cool, cool kids.
These were cool, cool kids. Absolutely, absolutely hitting the joint with the chiclets. 100%. Because in the Facts of Life one, the girl that was offering them drugs, she had like this feathered roach clip that was so like Stevie Nicks core. I'm dying for it. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, God, they're just so cool. There was the one that had all the lines. She had on these lace, like, gloves as well. Just, like, some clear, like, Stevie Nicks, like, witch core. Like, she's giving, you know what she's giving is Mrs. Pigglewiggle. She's Mrs. Pigglewiggle core and having a great old time. And I love it.
Yeah. Blair had to kill them because they were objectively so much cooler.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about the Punky Brewster cool kids.
Oh, no, both. Both groups, though. The Facts of Life cool kids the Punky Brewster cool kids. So cool. You know, so cool. They had to go. And then we are halfway through our episodes. Next, we have Home Improvement. What a fun show that we haven't revisited in a while. I remember we did a whole episode on Home Improvement, and I don't remember any of it. Do you remember that we did a whole ass episode on it?
Yeah.
It was with something else.
It was Frasier.
It was Frasier. We did Home Improvement and Frasier. I can't remember anything.
It might have been about communism. I don't know.
Sometimes this happens, guys. You don't remember what you said, but I remember it being fairly successful. But anyway, Home Improvement, Season 7, Episode 16, What a Drag, February 24th, 1998. And in this episode, I honestly, Tim Allen is like 1 degree below Archie Bunker in his reaction in this episode. He is like coming
absolutely.
Hard. He is...
He puts in more time.
Narkety Nark 500 on this.
Yep. He stakes out the backyard in Wilson's area.
Yeah.
And it's like a little periscope. Which I'm disappointed in Tim that he didn't get more home improvement. He could have gotten some security cameras in there. He maybe a little trap. All sorts of
things. An alarm that goes off when the pop baggie was touched. But basically what happens in this episode is in doing one of his television stunts, Tim crashes through their backyard gazebo, and in crashing through the backyard, he discovers a little bag of grass, the green stuff, devil's lettuce in his backyard. And Al and Tim, when they find this, they act as though they have found like 10,000 pounds of stolen cocaine.
Yep, Al is already thinking of his prison name and what gang he's gonna join. He was like grieving his freedom.
Schedule 1 narcotic. And immediately Tim goes on the no good times police crusade, and he said, I'm gonna figure out which one of my kids pulled this bullshit, and I'm going to bring them to justice. And so they set a little trap for all of their kids because they don't know which one it is. They scope out the backyard, watching and waiting to see who it'll be. And again, this whole time, Tim and Jill are just acting as though their child has fallen. He's fallen from grace. Fallen from God. God is
devastating. My witness. You hate to see that. You hate to see that happen to a kid.
Lord, I will find him. So I may greet him.
In this nest of whores and vipers. Let him speak who saw it all.
So yeah, exactly what's happening right then and there. And so they watch and they see that it is their son Brad, their eldest, the one who I'm pretty sure is in jail now in real life. I know one of the kids is. I think it's Brad, but if I'm wrong, I'm sorry to have besmirched your name. And they find out it's Brad. Brad is the one with that blonde, like the tall one with the blonde hair, if you remember Home Improvement. Mm-hmm. It's his. The weed is his. And this is an interesting one because I do feel like we like turn a corner almost in our like don't do drugs episode, where the kids being caught with drugs are starting, like we're starting to develop a different narrative around the drugs of it's not that bad. Everybody does this. It's not really a big deal. I'm not really doing anything all that wrong. And this is the angle that Brad goes with in Home Improvement. And then he also says, aren't you guys being a little hypocritical here? And ladies and gentlemen, when I tell you, I swear, I thought that they were going to lay this at Tim's feet. Because if we know anything about Tim Allen, is that he went to jail for dealing cocaine. So I thought, oh, maybe this would be a good way to address like the flagrant hypocrisy of this episode. And guess what? It was not, because the rest of this episode, they put that shit squarely at Jill's feet. And Jill says, I was a dope smoker.
They put it all on her. And just Tim Allen, he's not going to put that on his, like...
Yeah. She says, I was a user, I was a boozer, and I was a loser.
I got stoned at a Led Zeppelin concert. I bought some dope that was laced with something.
What was it laced with?
I don't know. But I ended up in the emergency room that registered under the name Charlene Fogelman.
So you used a phony name so your parents wouldn't catch you?
No, I thought I was Charlene Fogelman.
Well, then how'd you end up in jail?
Somebody turned me in. I was messed up for a long time after that.
And I think it was a good choice because Patricia Richardson does have this, I was cool when I was a kid. She gives that vibe, doesn't she?
She has such a vibe about her. Patricia Richardson, first of all, the vocal quality of like how she sounds, love the way Patricia Richardson sounds. Absolutely hits.
Yeah.
Her character was always good too, because she was getting her PhD. I love Jill. It could just be because you literally just sent me that TikTok, though, of her now, where she's, oh, fuck Tim Allen. We're not having a reunion, and he is out here putting my name in his mouth. I did not talk to this man. And I talked to JTT, and JTT did not talk to this man. And she said, one of my sons is in jail, so he's not going to be fucking... She's absolutely slaying, and she had the bangs, long white hair, stunning. She looked so good. And she was like, don't fucking put my name in your mouth, Tim Allen. A+.
I think he kept coming out public. It was so weird. I would hear on Twitter or whatever, I'd hear that he was coming out publicly and saying this stuff about how everyone was on board to do a Home Improvement reunion. But he never asked me, and he never asked Jonathan, who I talked to. So I called Jonathan one day. I said, has he asked you about this? And he went, no. Why is he going around telling everybody that we're all on board when he hasn't talked to you or me? You know, I think that's weird. Mm-hmm. And then there started being a rumor going around that somebody's been had a script that was a Jill script. It was like Jill's dream or something like that. And he was kind of lying to people and telling them that I was on board and I didn't know anything about it. So I wrote a big thing on Twitter and just said, I'm not involved in any kind of series with Jill. And I've also never even been asked to do another Home Improvement reunion thing, but I wouldn't want to. I mean, Zach is now a felon. Taryn hasn't acted since he left the show. He's not an actor anymore. And Jonathan's not really interested in acting. He wants to direct and write.
She really absolutely crushed it with that TikTok. I'm just in the Patricia Richardson moment right now. I'm just saying, yes, girl, you go.
So but she gets just her. Naturally. I think it's like she must be from California because she has like such a almost like an older Valley girl, like a mature Valley girl kind of accent.
Yeah.
And so she's just a grown up chicklet. This is actually, if you look closely, Patricia Richardson was all four of those chicklets, the actresses.
I can believe it. She's from Maryland, Bethesda, Maryland.
Really? That's a cool accent, folks. Really? Did she move early?
I don't know. Her IMDb biography calls her whiskey voice Patricia Richardson.
She has a kind of Tim.
She does do that. She does do that.
Yeah. I thought that was just like a Valley Girl accent, but all right.
Her trademark is having a hairstyle that features sharp, sassy bangs. Girl, same! 20s.
That is her trademark.
She went to
She's still rocking college. Him in that video where she had platinum white hair. She kept the bangs.
She kept the bang. Girls who get the bang, okay, you can tell who the girlies are who will live and die by the bang. Me personally, I'm going to live and die by the bang.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop me from banging. You found what worked for you. You absolutely can't stop. Oh, okay, so this might help you. Her trivia on IMDb says her father was a career U.S. Navy man, and so she lived all over growing up.
That's why she just has that like signature accent. The Patricia Eaton accent. You like Jeremy Irons just sounds like fucking Jeremy Irons.
Yeah. Yeah. It says that she is known for swearing a lot.
She's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
I want to swear.
Yeah. Love her. Grown up chicklet. Yeah, she seems great. I'm reading her quotes on IMDb. Love her.
What's she saying?
Television is a woman's medium, but what's disturbing is still, even in television, women have so little to do with what's going on behind the scenes. Yeah, girl.
Fuck. That's such a good point, Patricia.
She said, I've had so many horrible things happen in my life since I did Home Improvement that has worried me about doing comedy because, how do I say this? I'm a much darker person than I was.
I mean, as nice as I used to be. Fuck yeah, Patricia Richardson. She's in her bitch era.
These are all taken out of context. I have a born-again Christians in my family, and they're completely against abortion. Everybody's got to stop being afraid of it real soon. Who's going to do it if a woman's network doesn't? People are going to be dying. Fuck yeah, Patricia Richardson. Patricia Richardson is like...
You nailed it again, Patricia Richardson.
You fucking nailed it. You nailed it. You were like... Honestly, girl, up until this week, I was like... You know what? I feel like Patricia Richardson's not the vibe because she was like so kiki-ing with Tim Allen on that show that it's just like, I don't know about all this. But I'm reading these quotes, honey. I saw that TikTok. Okay. The vibe was good in this episode, even though you came down as narc-ass parents. Patricia Richardson, you're a chicklet now, girl. Raise your right hand, mama. We are swearing you in now. Okay. And so Patricia Richardson, Jill, that's her character's name. So Tim and Jill, they have a hard talk with Brian. And it really ends with them going, what are you going to say if somebody asked you to do drugs? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? Say it to me now. What are you going to say? And Brian's like, no, I don't want it. Oh, come on. It's just one joint. Have one joint. It's just one joint. Like he is... Like he's jumping like, back into the cocaine salesman days.
Yeah, he 100% is. He's also bringing like the worst employee training exercises where they force people to do improv. That's exactly the vibe of just someone from HR just like, pulling you up. You're going to do a sexual harassment thing with me now.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. Or if you were in Dare. Where they would make you do the, okay, now who wants to play the drug dealer? And I always wanted to play the drug dealer because that was the juiciest part.
Yeah.
Okay, that was always the juicy
part. Villains are always more fun to play.
Absolutely. It's like, hey, kids, want to see what I've got for you? It's candy, but it's nose candy. Like, I was ready for my Tony. ready for my close-up.
That's fucking insane. Because every year for No Drugs Month or whatever, sober January, we would in theater we would do all that's like skits and stuff, and then like when we got to, I think it was junior year, we were actually performing them and to like people, because that's just how my teacher rolled. And yeah, I remember being the drug dealer. Everybody always wanted to be the drug dealer because you can just do fucking anything. It's more like you can make any choice you want, but if you're like the stooge, then you don't have, you can't just be like, I'm going to do a Transylvanic accent. No, they won't let you do it.
Yeah, it was definitely the moment to shine. And at that point in my life, 12 years old, no one has ever offered me any drug. No one has ever even remotely, no one's offered me like caffeinated soda. It's just so far outside the realm of who I was. But you know what? That's how you learn and that's how you grow as an actor. Okay? You stretch. You use your imagination and you grow. And that's really where those characters came from for me.
Yeah. You really have to just go into a deep place and find your darkest like area and let that out. And that's how you do a drug villain.
And so, oh, go ahead.
No, I'm good.
So they force him into this like weird HR skit at their house, because presumably if they get someone in the episode to actually say, like, just say no, I'm assuming government just gives money. I don't know. I don't fucking know. They apply for some bullshit grant. Said, hey, episode said just say no. And then they get it.
Yeah. Yep. They would just find money on their stoop one day. Just a stack of bills.
Episode 3, good job.
What's the button, Jessica? What button can we press to really launch this time fracture into the time space continuum? Okay. No, I got it. So you're the president. There's a lot of pressure in the public. People are really scared about drugs with like school kids. And so like for the first time in decades, the political climate is right, where there is now pressure again for politicians to show up in sitcoms and try to convince kids to not do drugs. Like the time, it's like the planets have aligned once again, and you get to just show up and do an anti-drug sitcom. What do you think your cameo would be? How are you like telling the
does
kids?
It have to be a sitcom currently airing right now? Which is fine if it does.
And invent a future sitcom.
No. It's more, it would, I guess, be more like past sitcom. Okay, it has to be a sitcom that is airing right now. And one that kids watch.
No. Any sitcom.
Just like a family sitcom. Hold on, just quickly Googling. Sitcoms airing right now. So I could do like a cool one, or I could do like a lame one. If I was going to do like a cool one, it would probably be like Barack Obama on Abbott Elementary, or Michelle Obama Elementary.
What, do you play himself?
Yeah, for sure. They have a school newspaper at Abbott, do they not? I'm just doing the exact
plot. And that's how you control the school.
From different strokes. But it's just with a swap Nancy Reagan for Michelle Obama, same plot.
Okay, you just copy and paste in there. I respect that. I think maybe what we do in the shadows. Maybe it's we get the vampires. They're going through their old shit. What falls out? Pot. It's Nadia's pot. Laszlo freaks the fuck out for some reason.
Which actually is funny. He wouldn't do. I could see that.
Like he just
what kinda, the fuck is
I
that?
Signed a pledge.
This is my oath.
I signed a pledge to Nancy Reagan. And so he's freaking the fuck out the most. Like he has to leave, and it's like another Jackie Daytona. It's that bad how much he freaks out. And so we get a second Jackie Daytona where he's like doing some Breaking Bad shit in the border.
What I think should happen is Joe Biden can be there, absolutely. I think that Joe Biden should get Laszlo to sign a new pledge that will override the pledge with Nancy Reagan. And that's how he's able to.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yes. Laszlo decides after he misses Nadia and he has to get the new president to release him from his pledge.
Exactly. So Biden must release Laszlo from his pledge with the wife of Reagan.
And so Joe Biden gets to, like, just play himself.
And he's just doing it.
And then he's so, it's okay, Jack.
You're released.
And
nailed it.
Yeah, so that's my presidential cameo. Sorry, I didn't go with my own premise that I was the president.
You're the president?
What?
In this episode, you're the president?
My premise... No,
So you can't be the president. I didn't follow my own rules. Joe Biden is the president. I understand.
Yeah.
Wow. You still get it.
So mine would just be, yeah, okay.
You still did really good. I think you should feel really proud.
Show up to iCarly.
That actually happened.
I'm in the pilot. In my presidency, Obama was on... it will be that.
Michelle Obama was on iCarly.
I know, and it's clearly the place where presidents talk to the public. And for the I can't hardly do, I'm in the pilot. I'm doing like I'm there to be on the show, like the show's show, where she's doing like a Joe Rogan style podcast now, and talk about drugs, and now you shouldn't do them.
I love that. You did great work here. Green light it all.
You know what would also be a good way to do the iCarly reboot is to just shoot it girl style, to have somehow like HBO acquire
the property. So they're just like iCarly, but it's like sex lives of college girls?
Yeah, it's just like them all growed up. And
yeah, that's what the Hillary Duff reboot was supposed to be. It was supposed to be exactly what you're describing. And Disney said, we don't think that's what we want. They said, have you seen the Girl Meets World Communism episode? Because that's like, that's what we want in a reboot.
That's the energy. Pop energy only. That's what Disney wants.
Absolutely.
Disney used to be cool, y'all.
Folks, I think it's come to that time where Zach and I did work well on edibles, and now we want to do the nothing high.
Oh, nothing sounds amazing.
Sounds so good. Dude, I have to tell you, though, recently, let me tell you this first. The best high that I had recently, I took an edible while I was in Vegas, and I just walked around the casino floor. I think we talked about this on another episode. I walked around the casino floor, and bliss. What a beautiful place to be. Just, like, the right amount of stone. Just so many lights and sounds and so many colors and so much money to lose. And you're happy about it. You press a button and noises happen. It's so beautiful. That was a high that I'm going to be searching for the rest of my life.
That's a good high. My go-to is still to just put on the headphones and listen to the Postal Service. And
it's good to know you're the Zach that I met. You're still that Zach I met so many years ago.
It's probably why I don't get high as much as I'm getting sick of the Postal Service. But I can't be high without it.
I hope you...
But Jessica, I was going to ask you...
Oh, yeah.
Please. How high do you believe I am? Let's give each other grades.
You've come down significantly. You've come down a lot, is what I would say, since we started about 2 hours ago. If, like, 10 out of 10 is... the last 420 episode we did in terms of highness, I would put you at more like a 4.
What? Where we 10 is?
10 is like year? The most high. 10 is last year. So relative to last year, you're at like a 4.
Was I that high? I felt I was like super competent last year.
Why don't you just check the episode out?
We'll see. I'm excited. Let's find out how high. I apologize if it wasn't good to listen
no,
to.
No, we were both.
Hey, audience.
We were both high. We were both high. No, I think it was really good to listen.
Okay,
I think
good,
it was
yeah.
a great episode. We were okay. having a good time. Five. If we're 10 having out of fun, 10. They're having. If we're having fun, they're having fun.
Okay. Thanks for that pep talk. All right, folks. Why, please
wait,
follow
do you
us
wanna,
on
are you
Threads.
Gonna, you're not going to grade me?
Oh, I mean, from my perspective, you don't seem high at all, but that might be just seeing you through the high gaze.
You're viewing me through the high gaze. I can definitely tell I'm a little high because I can feel my eyes being like, when they squeeze, it's like when you like put a little pressure on a grape.
Yeah.
That's how my eyes feel.
Yeah.
And I can tell that I want food bad, okay? Bad. So I know that there's something going on here. But I also had, stuff to say about the chiclets. And so I said, brain, prioritize this. Because you are not going to let these queens walk out of here without getting their flowers. Okay?
Yeah,
this episode was for the chiclets.
I hope that video, the episode changed like, lives.
Dedicated to the chiclets and the chiclets alone, including Patricia Richardson, who is a chiclet now. That's what this episode was for.
She's. Yeah. This one's for the chiclets.
This one's for the chiclets. Whoever had a broken heart.
Shania
who
20,
wished
folks.
Upon a shooting star. Folks, we got to wrap this up. Zach already said it. Our TikTok, our Instagram, our Threads. We do stuff on all of them. Give us a follow. We also have a Patreon. We love to get new subscribers. If you subscribe, we'll give you a little goofy little sitcom thing that happens to you and we'll read it on the show. So we'd love to see that. We'd love to see you in the list of our subscribers. So with that, we bid you adieu. Thank you so much for spending some hi-fi time with us. We love you.
When it comes to hi-fi, I'm rather low-fi.
Subscribe to Because It Was On.
Whoop, 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 whoop.